Welcome to the week 8 episode of the QB List Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm back after my 1 week hiatus. It's me, Callan Alstucker, joined as always by Brian Hartman and Mario Adamo Jr. And this may have been one of the strangest weeks of the fantasy season. A lot of things went how we expected. And then one of the star players in the sport decided that, or maybe his head coach decided that one of the star players in our sport couldn't play for certain reasons beyond our control that probably didn't benefit a lot of people. And I'll say benefited me because I played him against him in two different leagues, but we'll cover that in detail for sure. But yeah, a crazy week out in Atlanta. My team going to 4-2. Steelers pulled out an upset against the Rams. So fun week in the NFL, fun week in fantasy. It was good to see some studs get back to being. Yeah, Patriots beat the Bills.
What?
It's any given Sunday, and I think that was the perfect definition of any given Sunday. But guys, welcome in. How did your, as much as you know, how did your week 7s go?
I have Eckler, didn't look good. I have Kupp, doesn't look good. McCaffrey just fumbled. We're kind of in shambles out here. Bad times. We have Bijan in another league. We need him more. We have him and Eckler, so we're just, for our own sanity, this is a week that we're going to wash away.
Yeah, definitely in the process of licking some wounds here. As you guys know, reached out minutes before kickoff. Myself taking a lovely stroll through Tinkertown and was messing with the idea of putting in Brian Hoyer. Donta Foreman was there. Who to go? Some early Thursday shenanigans. And wow, I'm learning my lesson. Don't tinker with your lineup, folks. Don't do it.
Yes, it definitely hurts you more than it helps you. I've dealt with that throughout the season, but this week may be one of my better weeks outside of the QB List Staff League where I can't buy a win. I think I am having one of the worst leagues I've been in this year is with the QB List Staff League. Just things just have not gone right for me in that league, but I'll take a loss in that league if it means you guys are getting wins in your leagues and my other leagues where I have money on the line are doing better. But on this episode, we got a lot to get into, so let's get into the news and notes. Last week, you guys talked about Justin Fields and the implications from his injury. This week, Tyson Bagent looked pretty good. I'll give it that. He was the first rookie quarterback to win his first game as a starter of the season compared to Anthony Richardson and Bryce Young and CJ Stroud. So Tyson Bagent, clearly the best rookie quarterback. That's just how it goes. Really? He's already expected to start this week against the Los Angeles Chargers somehow in prime time because, hey, why not put Tyson Bagent on Sunday Night Football? So we saw 1 week of him in a good game against the Raiders. How much confidence do you have going forward with the main pass catchers out in Chicago? We went to the running backs in a few, but specifically DJ Moore, Cole Kmet. Where's your confidence level of them moving forward with Bagent as quarterback for however long that could be?
Lower. I think that in the past with Justin Fields, there was a strong connection between him and DJ Moore and Cole Kmet, the two guys. I would feel good about a 50-50 chance Cole Kmet scores a touchdown with Justin Fields back there. It just seemed like Bagent, they'd been a little bit more cautious. They're running the ball more. Maybe it was just against the matchup, but I'm a little nervous. DJ Moore, they did try to get him involved. He had the almost touchdown. It was originally called a touchdown, but it was then shown that he stepped out of bounds, DJ Moore. So a little bit of confidence in him. They're continuing to get him involved. But overall, both of them do take a tick for me.
Yeah, he only threw for 162 yards. He's still a rookie. There's still going to be bumps and bruises. Do you have a little bit of hope where you're willing to start him? Absolutely, but we're not as excited as we were, I think, with the Justin Fields potential.
Absolutely. I think Moore still is in that low wide receiver two, high flex sort of caliber going forward, especially, I guess I should have led with this. There's no bye weeks next week, so after we have the bipocalypse last week with 6, every team's in action because that's just how the NFL wants to do it. So you're likely going to have better options for this week. Last week, you probably had to play your Bears because of the receivers on bye. This week, even in a good matchup against the Chargers, you probably don't have to play him, but I think he's still capable, but we'll let the other guys who do the start-sit decisions, such as Mario, later in the week, tell you what to do there. But moving forward with the news before we get into a weird week of injuries, that's the only main fantasy implication for in terms of news, not injuries. But Kevin Byard was just traded to the Philadelphia Eagles for, I believe, a sixth round pick. Mario was singing his praise at the beginning of the show as the Philadelphia Eagles fans, and we were sitting here nodding our heads. Howie Roseman just continues to do the right thing for the Eagles. He's just very active and makes smart trades, so good for them. I guess for fantasy implications, is this it for the Titans? There's talks about will Derrick Henry or DeAndre Hopkins be on the move, and we got a week till the trade deadline. Halloween night is the trade deadline, so we have maybe one more week for them as Tennessee Titans. So do you expect to see the Titans continue to sell off shop? Do we get the big move of Derrick Henry or DeAndre Hopkins leaving town?
My big concern about that is just the contract situation for Derrick Henry. Like, let me see what he's set to make.
The dead money next year, it's pretty easily cut.
He is. So there we go. So I guess that's not even a big implication. Then I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they're definitely in fire sale mode. Brian, you had more knowledge on this with the dead money thing, so I'm going to let you just take it away. Like, what do you think about it?
I was just a little bit of you always hope for the upside. We've seen guys just recently in the past, like, Tyreek Hill, AJ Brown, and Devontae Adams get traded. Not quite at the deadline, but we saw CMC get traded at the deadline. So there's hope. There's hope. I think that's all there is right now for Derrick Henry, is hoping that he lands in a positive spot somewhere, maybe like Cleveland, behind a good offensive line to rejuvenate what Chubb couldn't do. I don't know, but I don't know. We're excited, but I'd still put it as a lesser chance of happening.
Yeah, maybe Baltimore. We've been begging for him to get the real running back. I would love to see that happen as someone who's been still holding on to Derrick Henry. But we'll get to this on waivers as well. But this is just a reminder of also. Get Tajay Spears if he's still out there, because if Derrick Henry moves, Spears will be the clear guy to roster in Tennessee, and there won't be much competition. So he can be a league winner, especially with how bad the Titans offense has been. But you get a running back who's going to get carries, such as Deontay Foreman. Good things can happen. And we'll see how many more Deontay Foreman jabs we can take before the end of the show for you, Brian.
thank you. Appreciate it.
And the final news is this exciting one. The Dolphins drew the midseason Hard Knocks. So on HBO this rest of this year, they will be having weekly Hard Knocks episodes of the in season. So it'll be fun. I'd love to see Mike McDaniels mic'd up during meetings and stuff. He always has great sound bites in his interviews. So seeing him on a Hard Knocks type show, curious how it's going to look. But great start of the season. Weird loss last night to the Philadelphia Eagles, but I'm excited to see the Dolphins in action on that show.
For sure.
Let's jump over to the injuries, where, of course, there's more fantasy relevant, but it's a good way to start to show this news. So we'll start off in Cleveland. We mentioned the potential trade for Derrick Henry, and part of that reason is because Jerome Ford is going to be missing a week or two, potentially using a boot after the game due to a high ankle sprain. So this means we saw kind of a mix and match between Kareem Hunt and Pierre Strong. Nobody's been ruled out yet, but that's just the expectations. We won't have Jerome Ford for a little bit of time. So, guys, who takes this cake for the Browns backfield? Does Kareem Hunt jump right back in as a big free agent signing? We saw Strong kind of get more of the carries after the injury. How does Cleveland's backfield shake out while Ford misses a week, two, whatever the case may be?
I'm not going to be surprised if they pick somebody up off the street as well, just adding more depth to this backfield. I'm sure Pierre Strong is going to be involved. There's no way they're going to rely on Hunt to be, you know, the three down back where he's just out there constantly. So I'm sure we're going to see a mix of two, maybe even three guys. Leonard Fournette's out there. Is he ever going to get a job this year?
didn't he tweet saying he was going to announce it? He's going to announce this week where he's gone.
He said on a live stream, whether it's Twitch or Kick, but one of the sites, he was like, he's going to announce it. So
he's got to wait until he finds one, but yeah.
He's got to wait until someone calls and actually says, hey, we want you to play for him. Then he can make an announcement.
Exactly. But I kind of agree with that. Like, Hunt is not going to get the three down work, but I do think he's going to have the most upside out of anybody there. He's been in the system. We've kind of seen him be in a role where he's not the main guy and still thrive. So I think there's a lot of upside with Hunt. So if he's still available, I feel like we talked about him in the last couple of weeks. So if he's still available, he's a high target.
Go get him.
Yeah. He's currently 64% rostered on Yahoo League. So right around that threshold that we usually put out there. So we'll get into some more running backs, but before we get into other names, does he become the top priority for this, or is there somebody we don't need to get into who it is that is ahead of him for this week?
If he's available, I think he'd be my number one guy. I have other guys who I think we talk about how he's over the threshold of 50%, so it's not in the article, but yes, he's a main guy for me.
Yeah, I think it's going to be team dependent, you know, if you're looking more wide receiver, more running back, something else, but he's definitely at the top of the list, like you said, if he's available.
Yeah, so keep an eye out for that one. Continuing Cleveland, we'll go back to the quarterback position. Deshaun Watson is undergoing shoulder evaluations after he left on the game on Sunday. He did undergo a concussion evaluation. He did pass the protocol, but Kevin Stefanski kind of came out and said he's our franchise guy. We wanted to play it safe with him. And PJ Walker ended up leading the come-from-behind win against the Indianapolis Colts in an actually surprisingly exciting 39-38 win. That was a lot of fun. We'll cover a lot more of that game in just a little bit. But similar question to what we mentioned with the Chicago Bears guys. What's your confidence level with the Browns wide receivers going forward, with Amari Cooper, with Elijah Moore, if you've been streaming him? If PJ Walker's starting, can you start him? If Deshaun Watson's starting, can you even start these guys at this point?
I'm fading this Browns offense, except for the running backs. I mean, I feel like that's just the Browns for the last couple of years. So Amari Cooper, disappointing. The other guys, Peoples Jones, disappointing. Seems like it doesn't matter who's out there. We saw Deshaun when he was out there. He threw almost two interceptions that we saw on the replay. The guy bobbled it a little bit, but I'm not having any confidence in the Browns passing attack going forward.
Let's move over to the running back position, and we'll start off with the news that everybody's talking about out in Atlanta. We gotta talk about it. Bijan Robinson had 3 yards. He was dealing with an illness. He kind of came out and said that, you know, Arthur Smith has said at halftime he wasn't feeling like himself. He woke up, and that's the report that we have right now, that he woke up and just was feeling completely out of it, didn't feel like himself, couldn't put himself through it. And same thing with the Falcons. They have the running back depth, so you didn't have to push it. First off, for you guys, do you actually buy this, or is there something more behind the scenes we need to worry about? Ooh. And, you know, do you have some concerns going forward with Bijan's workload for week 8 after that, considering that Patterson did run the ball 10 times for 56 yards and Algier's already been getting a lot of goal line work? So, what, you know, how much concern do you have for Bijan, or do you think it's just a one week ordeal?
I want to just start by saying tinfoil hat, Callan, just like thinking about the like, ooh, is it like really this little sickness or is it a bigger thing?
Listen, I've been a Steeler fan for a while. We've seen Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. So anything that happens, there's more tinfoil hat that comes out now.
Oh, my gosh. I do think, listen, I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt. I don't think he has anything to hide or to be deceitful to us. I truly think, I mean, last minute, he wasn't feeling well. It should have been disclosed. It wasn't. Last I saw, the NFL will follow up about the Falcons' failure to disclose the illness. So we'll see what comes from that. But I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. Robinson wasn't feeling good day of. Better safe than sorry. He's definitely the future of this franchise. Ritter isn't. Patterson isn't at his age. So you'd rather be overcautious, but they should have reported it. I'm not worried going forward.
If you ask me, honestly, I think Arthur Smith, we haven't trash-talked him a lot in the last few weeks because he's been throwing the ball so much. We've loved what he's been doing. And the guy got jealous. Taylor Swift is stealing the headlines. It fuels his hate fire. I'm convinced that's what it is. He loves just that hate he gets. So what is he going to do? He's going to bench his top 10 running back over the sniffles.
Yeah, ultimately, I don't think it's a much of a concern. It's just, you know, some people are talking about, so we had to point it out there. But yeah, Arthur Smith, just boy, this season's been nuts. If he's not on this hot seat with Brandon Staley or some other coaches, I don't know who would be. But this is just a crazy situation. But don't panic if you have Bijan. I expect him to be his normal Bijan self starting out in week 8, unless he wakes up once again with a headache or sniffles or whatever he is he's dealing with. But I expect he'll get right back to 15 to touches or so going forward. Sticking with the running back position, we had a few guys who left with injury who came back, but we wanted to gauge your concern level at both of them. The first is Austin Eckler. He left with an ankle injury. Then he came back in. It was a different ankle, though. And we did see Josh Kelly finally do something just, you know, weeks after we recommended him. And he wasn't getting the bulk of the carries because football. And then Saquon Barkley also left with an elbow injury. He was dangling the arm. I, as a Saquon Barkley manager, was freaking out because I finally got him back just to lose him again. But he did come back, and he had a very long touchdown run, had another good game as well. So concern level for each of them, is it pretty low, or either of them that you have a little more worry about?
Yeah, so Eckler, I just need to talk about freaking Josh Kelly. You know, all the Eckler was out for weeks, right? We were like, get Josh Kelly. We've seen that he's productive while he's with Eckler. Turns out Kelly's a bum by himself. This one, Eckler's back. You know, they had the bye week. They had like the extra week, you know, Cowboys tough matchup, whatever. So it's like, okay, he'll be back this week. No, now Josh Kelly's in. So I think my only logical fantasy advice going forward is if Eckler's starting, start Josh Kelly instead. If it's just Josh Kelly's the main guy that night, don't start him. Keep him out of your lineup. All that to say, maybe it's my ignorance is bliss. I'm not worried about Eckler yet. It could be I let it at the top of the show. I have him in a couple leagues. I'm heavily invested in Eckler, so maybe it's denial. I'm not worried. I'm going to wait for more reports to come out on him, but I'm playing it. I'm cool, calm, and collected with Eckler for now. I'm knocking on wood. I'm feeling okay.
Yeah, same. Watching the report, seeing what happens. But if he does miss time, I'm not jumping on the Josh Kelly train again. This is not something I want to play with. Clearly, he needs Eckler out there supporting him, telling him, good job, Josh, you got this. Because it's the only time we see him actually break. He looks great. Every single one of his rushes was a significant chunk of yards. But I don't know. He can't do it solo. Just the pressure gets to him.
Nope.
And
then I was just moving on to Barkley a little bit. Another injury scare feels like, but at the same time, he's the only healthy person on that offense. So it's ugly, which is crazy. Barkley, I feel like, is usually not that guy, but, it's another one I'm definitely monitoring. I'm not worried yet. I'm not sounding the alarms yet, but just playing it by ear.
Yep. So I don't get this Josh Kelly thing. And I know if Eckler was going to get hurt, I'd get hurt again because I would be telling people the same thing of, hey, Josh Kelly's getting the bulk of the carries and, you know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice. That's a part of the saying, too. But, yeah, we'll monitor. Both of them should be playing. Both will be in your starting lineups. But it's just a reminder of if you have Eckler, handcuff him because it's now two weeks where he's been dealing with ankle injuries. And Barkley, make sure you have Matt Breida. Although, let's face it, Matt Breida's not going to be doing too much. But make sure you handcuff your star running back. So that's just a constant reminder. Finally, the wide receivers again. Luckily, we had no real major injuries this week. It was a pretty good week on that front. We did see Jaylen Waddle leave the game with a back injury. Did come back towards the end of the game and helped me squeak out a win in my home league because yeah. I was facing A.J. Brown, and he decided to be A.J. Brown. We'll cover him more in just a little bit, but what more can we say? So no concern about Jaylen Waddle going forward, at least on my end. And the other wide receiver position injury, Christian Watson did limp off with a knee injury. His looked a little bit more severe. He did lay immediately on the ground once he got to the sideline. So while the Packers offense has looked extremely inept the past few weeks, there's going to be a number one receiver in Green Bay. Maybe it's Romeo Doubs. Maybe it's Jalen Reed, who caught the drop pass that Romeo Doubs couldn't catch. But yeah, so any concern level for Watson or Waddle? And if so, is there a receiver you think benefits from their little injury scares so far?
Watson, I am a little concerned, not only because of the injury, but just because Jordan Love looked a little pumpkin-y. You know, it feels like the magic's kind of gone. They may not have three Hall of Fame quarterbacks in a row over in Green Bay. So rest easy, Bears and Lions and Vikings fans. But as for who benefits from Christian Watson's injury, maybe Romeo Doubs. But again, not a lot of confidence in this offense. Really. So I'll say if you lose Christian Watson, I'm probably looking at another team, like just another brand new environment for a wide receiver.
We'll touch on him a little bit more probably in the waivers. Jaden Reed's somebody I'd look at, especially with Luke Musgrave looking to miss time as well. Just Targets have to go somewhere, and he's looked pretty good. He came with a touchdown on a I don't know if y'all saw it, the bobble touchdown that he caught.
Yep.
It was
wild. But Christian Watson, he didn't play a full complement of snaps until week 10 last year. He dealt with injuries off and on. You know, not to say that we're going to see that exact same trend here, but he takes some bumps and bruises here a little bit. So I would be a little wary if you, I was kind of hoping he was going to be a long-term asset for me coming out of this injury. But it looks like this might be something that's going to be all season he deals with.
Let's hope not, but it wouldn't fully surprise me. We'll stop with the injuries and stop with the bad news for just a little bit and go to the highlights of the week, our booms. Brian, we'll start over with you. Who's the first player you want to highlight, the biggest boom of the week?
Well, I'll hit a nice little quartet. It's the four guys you would imagine to see there at the top of the quarterback list. We've got Patrick Mahomes, we've got Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Jalen Hurts. This is your QB 1, 2, 4, and 5. Obviously, we're recording this during the Monday night game, but really, Purdy, Kirk, these guys, they're not top five material. They don't run like these quarterbacks we have here. They looked great. They looked like the guys that you spent high draft capital on early in the season. Hoping you have them on your team, that's for sure.
Yeah, they were just really, really good. Not too much more to say, but it's nice to see Jackson bounce back and get that reminder of what the Ravens offense could be. Any other quarterbacks? Yeah, we know they're good. It's not too much more, but I'm at least going to add. Mario, if you have more you want to add to those guys, or if you have somebody else you want to highlight, we'll kick it over to you.
Nothing about those guys. I'll stay in the quarterback train. This guy will be a little dabble into the waiver world as well. But Minshew Mania looked great. I will say it's tough to really predict consistency with Minshew. I mean, the last 2 weeks he finished as quarterback 18 and 27. Yikes. But this week he finished as QB3 for Monday night. You know, he had 28 points, which is more than his last 2 weeks combined. You'll have to see that. He really used his legs, which is kind of funny because we thought, Brian, you could maybe speak to this Colts fan, but like I thought with Anthony Richardson being done for the year, like perfect. That's more rushing opportunities for my Jonathan Taylor, for the Zach Mosses. Nope. Gardner Minshew is, there's still a quarterback rushing in touchdowns in Indianapolis. He just can't take it out of the system. It's something in the water.
Rushing for two at that. Like that's wild.
I don't know if you saw, he did the shimmy celebration for the first one. And then on the second rushing touchdown, he went back to it. I think just out of like, he was shocked that he got the second rushing touchdown. He just practiced the one celebration. So he went back to it.
100%.
So great stuff. So I like Minshew going forward. He has a tough matchup next week against the Saints. But listen, if you're someone that had like a Jordan Love, I know there's no buys this week, but I feel like a pretty popular strategy is like just punting on quarterback. And like I said, like a Jordan Love, you're looking for or you have Justin Fields. I kind of like Minshew is just a good gamble.
As a guy who just traded for Jonathan Taylor, seeing Minshew run those two touchdowns, I was so furious and saying words that are not QB-less friendly watching the game yesterday. But then he ran for a touchdown and everything worked out all right. But great game for Gardner Minshew. It's just a reminder of Minshew Mania still being alive and well. And the reminder, too, of why he's one of the better backup quarterbacks in the league. And he can still support the receivers, which we'll get to in just a moment. But if you play for Indianapolis, that wouldn't be it's a reminder you don't have to worry about your Indianapolis players because Minshew can still make a lot of guys fantasy relevant on that offense. Move over to the running back position, and I'll kick this one off because I know Brian does not want to talk about him much longer. But we'll go for the number one running back, my biggest guy I want to highlight for the week. Deontay Foreman, 16 carries, 189 yards, two touchdowns, and then a receiving touchdown on three receptions for 31 yards. He got all the work because Khalil Herbert's still on IR and Roschon Johnson didn't clear concussion protocol. So volume equals good things, especially when you play the Las Vegas Raiders. So the big question for me with him is going forward, has he done enough to still be fantasy viable, even with Roschon Johnson potentially clearing protocol for this week? Or is this going to be a mix and mess that we don't want to deal with?
It's tough to say because last year, we talked a lot about the whole Deonta Foreman versus Chuba Hubbard situation. That was a mess. Now Foreman's got himself into another mess. Obviously, you can't deny three touchdowns, but I do think that Rashawn Johnson. In my eyes, he was more talented between the two backs. Khalil Herbert is expected to come back. Granted, I believe that Chicago running backs besides Foreman don't have three touchdowns on the year. So, but they've also been playing with Justin Fields, right? He uses his legs. It's a different offense with him. I think Foreman has high potential next week, just based on we're probably going to see the same backup, Bajan, going out there. But I don't think there's a lot of long-term value on Foreman.
Yeah, he saw a 17.9% of the target share this past week when he saw 4.2% the week before. So if Roshan Johnson comes back, I think you have to worry about that. You know, the three touchdowns, we're not going to see that. He's only had one multi-touchdown game in his career before this. So I just think you need to pull back on expectations. If you played him this week, ride the glory to it, but understand of what this offense really is. You know, he barely has played prior to this because of how talented the other guys are ahead of him, and they're not special.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's a good matchup for the Chargers, but monitor practice reports closely. And if somehow Johnson's going to miss, yeah, you fire Foreman up. If Johnson does clear the protocol, then you have some questions, and you will be able to answer those more as we get closer to Sunday night. But Foreman wasn't the only good running back from this week. Brian, let's kick it over to you. Your biggest running back boom of the week.
Well, mine's got to be Kamara. We've seen a running back catch so many passes. I feel like Drew Brees is back in the league. It is unreal what we're seeing Kamara do right now. But, I mean, you don't hate it. He's averaging 9.8 targets per contest right now over his first four games. A 28% target share in two of the four. Like, that's unreal. But he's getting it done. The offense looks like garbage. I actually think he's hurting the offense because Carr's just dumping it off. He's not even looking downfield. Yeah. He may do his first read. But, yeah, he's just dumping it off, which if you've got Kamara, you're not hating. But Olave managers, you're in for some streaky weeks, it feels like, just because Kamara is really limiting just that ability for Carr to push the ball downfield.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, and I 100% agree with that. I just want to add that before the game, I remember just looking on one of the apps, and I believe Kamara's over-under for receptions was 3.5, and it's just absolutely comical. I'm curious to see where the line is next week, if Vegas is going to catch on, or if it's going to be another low number like that. But Kamara's insane. I'll pivot to another guy. I'll give Gibbs his flowers. He finally got his first touchdown, finished with 27.6 points, 9 for 10 on his targets for 58 yards, rushed 11 times for 68 yards. Was kind of the only bright spot for the Lions offense. I mean, Goff didn't look good. But Gibbs, you know, turns out that when he is the only guy there, when David Montgomery is hurt, you know, we saw this last year with Swift, and Gibbs is kind of a similar player. It's like, listen, he's going to have his game every once in a while. I think that's what this was. So I'll say, if you have Gibbs, I'm selling right now. I don't think this is a trend, especially when Montgomery comes back, but you're happy. He probably spent good draft capital on Gibbs, so it only took 7 weeks, but you got his game.
Yeah, it's nice to see Gibbs do what we were all waiting for him to do. Like, so that being said, we'll see what happens when David Montgomery returns, but it's still a few weeks away, so you can still ride this hot streak a little bit longer, but the sell window may be closing, so you may want to at least explore it. But for now, if you need the win, I don't think you're in a bad spot. Just continue to ride that out. And the final running back, I'll give a quick shout out to Gus Edwards, 14 carries, 64 yards and a touchdown. And also, what we all knew was coming, an 80-yard reception for Gus Edwards, who I don't know if he's ever had 80 receiving yards in a single season in his career, let alone in one game. So good for him.
He didn't score. How do you get an 80-yard reception and not score? That's what blows my mind.
It's incredible. I had to do a double take looking at the stat line. Like, wait, 80 yards and there's no touchdowns here?
But no, he didn't score a receiving touchdown. No, I'm sitting there saying as a guy who could probably barely run 80 yards by myself. Yes. But, like, I'm just saying.
Listen, he's the bus for a reason, you know? Like, you'd think. But buses are long, right? I don't know. The bus did not reach its destination.
It did not. It broke down.
You know, no, it broke down. Yeah. So, a long term now with it's been a messy situation in Baltimore. Gus Edwards had a great game. Is he the running back one there? Is Justin Hill going to be playing there? Can you start Gus Edwards with confidence? What's your read on Baltimore before we
For me, Gus Edwards is game script. They were in complete control of this game the entire time. And we really saw the bulk of Gus Edwards' work come in the second half. So I think that's really going to be how it looks like. We still see Justice Hill in the mix. He's catching passes. So I think, yeah, if they're in a positive game script, Gus Edwards is going to get you some points. If it's up in the air on where they're going to be going, I'm not going to have the most confidence. You know, it's going to be a low-end flex play for me.
Yeah, still a messy backfield with a lot of mouths to feed. So ideally sticking away from it, but it is going to have, it's going to lead to games like this where one guy is going to go off.
And next week, they do play the Arizona Cardinals. So maybe the game script will be more in Gus Edwards' favor for that. But I think that's a great way to look at his game script. It really depends matchup wise for him. Go over to the wide receiver position where it's just real quick, not much more you can add about these players, but three of our top receivers were really, really good. A.J. Brown, 10 receptions, 137 yards and touchdown. He ties an NFL record for most consecutive 125-yard games. He is really, really good. Mover, Tyreek Hill, not to be outdone, 11 receptions, 88 yards and a touchdown. He is also really, really good. And not to be overshadowed, Amon-Ra St. Brown, 13 receptions, 103 yards, just on 19 targets. No big deal. He is also really, really good. Not much more to add there, but if you have...
I was just talking about overshadow. It's the sun god. There's no shadow with the sun god.
Well done. I'm just glad it wasn't a Taylor Swift reference, but maybe when we highlight our tight end, we'll find a way. But good for those three. Mario, save us. You know, please keep out the Taylor Swift references. Other receivers did well, and they, you know, there's more to go in. But so, who's your biggest boom from the guys we didn't fully expect something like this from?
Yeah, I guess the biggest one that's going to be the biggest surprise and definitely one of the biggest names of the waiver wire week is going to be Josh Downs. You know, he's someone that if you're reading the waiver wire articles, he was mentioned the last 2 weeks. I mean, and it was for this week in particular, 5 for 125 and the touchdown. Most of it came on that big chunk play. I believe it was a 40-ish yard touchdown pass, if I remember correctly. Memory serves. I see some nods. Love it. So, yeah. Great game by Downs. I mean, you know, you love seeing guys like this, like especially the ones I'm talking about on the article. So I hope you picked him up. But if you didn't, he's definitely one of my top, if not my top wide receiver.
It's we talk about Gardner Minshew and how he can support the weapons there. He's now supporting two receivers out there. Michael Pittman also had 2 receptions, 86 yards and a touchdown. It was all on one very large play, but it's a good reminder that the Colts receivers, we've talked about them being maybe even better with Gardner Minshew out there. Well, Downs and Pittman have both been really, really good for the Colts since Minshew has taken over. So maybe there's a sell high window on at least one of them right now off this sort of game, but they're going to be throwing a lot because they're definitely playing high scoring games because that defense is not great in Indianapolis. So Josh Downs definitely, if not at the top, he's very close to the top of the waiver wire at the receiver position. Brian, anything more you want to add about your Colts player? And if not, then we'll get to your biggest boom of the week at the receiver position.
I don't want to tarnish Downs and bring him down anymore. You know, people are just going to hit the bias. They're going to say the Colts fans bringing him up. So I'm going to let you guys take it away. I think you hit it perfectly. And I want to talk about a guy, this rookie that came out of nowhere, Puka Nacua. This guy that now Cooper Kupp's back, guys. Did you hear? Nacua is washed. He's done. He's not going to get anything.
That's what I thought.
Hard pass. Hard pass right there. He just saw 44% target share this week. He's fallen below 32% target share in just 2 games this season and never been below 21%. He is here to stay. I think the duo between Nacua and Kupp is going to be there all season. And wow, blew us out of the water. 8 receptions, 154 yards. Great game from him. I'm loving what this rookie is bringing to this league right now.
It's truly incredible. There's not too many more words to say than we all thought that once Cooper Kupp came back, there was going to be a weird mix. Well, Cooper Kupp only had 2 receptions. Obviously, it's not going to last too much longer. They'll both be high-end receivers, but if you've had any doubts about Puka, you just play him. No question, every week up the bye week, he is a must-start receiver going forward. And it's a shame that the Rams still, that Matthew Stafford isn't a better fantasy receiver, or quarterback, excuse me, when he's supporting both Puka and Cooper Kupp. But he can still only be a average middle of the pack quarterback. It's saying as a guy who had to play him this week and is a little disappointed about that. But shout out also, poor wrap up the receiver position to Mike Evans. 6 receptions, 82 yards, and a touchdown. He finishes as wide receiver 6 on the week. Even while being shadowed by AJ Terrell, he's still very good. And Baker Mayfield's doing a great job with him. We'll cover Baker in a little bit for the quarterback position. But the Buccaneers and the Falcons, surprisingly, are right at the top of that division. And Mike Evans has been everything you've wanted and more at the wide receiver position. So a little shout out to him to wrap up this segment. And of course, if you weren't listening to any NFL broadcast, you may have missed it. It was National Tight End Day yesterday on Sunday. So we would be remiss if we didn't highlight the tight end position. A lot of good players, but Travis Kelce, 12 receptions, 179 yards, a touchdown on 13 targets, 35.9 points. I thought for a moment there he was going to set some sort of record for most receiving yards by a tight end in the game. Let's take what I said about the wide receivers and put it over him. Travis Kelce, he is very, very good. And maybe it had something to do with a certain person who was in the stands watching him.
Did y'all see that stat where Patrick Mahomes went 27 straight completions when targeting Travis Kelce? It ended in this game with one of the last attempts, but yeah, 27 straight completions.
Wow, I missed that. That's
I can't picture that. I can't picture having that much consistency in my offense.
Nope. They're going to be, and I've been watching the Steelers, so I would kill for some sort of consistency like that this year. But yeah, by the end of the season, they will be in the same conversation as we put Brady and Gronk, those quarterback tight end duos that we love talking about. There, Mahomes and Kelce is a duo we're going to remember for a long time. And then there's the guys who play on the football field, not let alone the handshake between Taylor Swift and Brittany Mahomes that's going on. But with all the great play that we saw in Week 7, guys were what we expected. There were some guys who we expect more out of. That did not live up to the hype, and we got to at least cover that. So we'll start at the quarterback position. Brian, take it away.
For quarterbacks, we got a couple doozies here. We had Herbert and Goff. Both of them just looked Goffle. It was nice. Not something I wanted to well see done. At all.
Not Ken off.
But yeah, Herbert had so many expectations coming into the season. We really thought he was just going to blow it away, and this team's just kind of blowing up. It wasn't great. We were hoping a really high scoring affair. Kansas City dropped 31, but you know the Chargers only came away with 17 points. And
yeah, just on that, the only thing I want to just touch on is Goff. I was going to just say, I mean, Road Goff finally reared its head. You know, we did see a little bit of some good Road Goff earlier this year, but firm believer that Road Goff is real, and this was just a prime example of it. But also, David Montgomery is just that important, I believe. And yes, I have David Montgomery in a couple leagues, but yes, he's that important to this offense.
Yeah. Goff in Week 8 is going to be back at home, and he is playing the Las Vegas Raiders, so I will probably be firing him right back up in
way
the
back.
Lineup. So not yeah. concerns about him. I'm getting concerned about Justin Herbert, because I don't know if you saw the tweet. Apparently that finger injury from Herbert that he suffered a week or two ago, it's going to be about a 6-week injury. And I'm not fully buying in that it's not gonna keep him out, but I'm wondering if it's having an effect on him throwing the football more than we realize. I want to keep a closer eye on him. He's still someone you're going to start, but if you do have Herbert, it wouldn't be a bad idea to go get yourself a second option if he does fall, like Brian said, into that streaming category that we really hope he doesn't, because he was definitely someone targeting as a possible MVP candidate for this season. Well, hopefully he figures it out, but you might want to be proactive, find yourself some other options just in case it does happen. Running back position, we talked a lot about. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, for Herbert, only thing I want to say is, I mean, before this, he's had 1, 2, 3, 4 finishes in the top 6 for quarterbacks. Granted, he looked really ugly here, but it's against Kansas City, at Kansas City. They always whoop their fellow AFC West opponents. They're about to play Chicago, who we know is not a competitive team. It personally, like, this is the week I am sending a heavy offer to Justin Herbert. I think he is going to bounce back and be top 10 next week. After that, he does have at the Jets. That's a yuck matchup. But besides that, you're feeling great about the schedule. Detroit, Green Bay, Baltimore. I think Justin Herbert, this is the one bad game for him. he is going to continue to have a couple ugly picks, but I mean, we've seen that with Hurts, which I just feel like quarterbacks are, they're just turning the ball over more this year. I don't know what's in the water, but I'm still very high on Justin Herbert, and I'll probably be making some offers this week for him.
Definitely something. Keep in mind, you told us to go get Justin Fields, and it worked out, so let's see if the other Justin has the same effect. But we'll go over to the running back position. We talked a lot about Bijan Robinson, so not too much more to add to him, but 0.3 points. Very, very sad day. But other running backs that we didn't expect from, real quick, Raheem Mostert had a finish with only 6 points, and Josh Jacobs only 5 points. He did get a touchdown called back on a reception. Believe it was, I don't remember if it was a penalty or if he was just out of bounds, but he almost had a touchdown. Could have made his day a little bit more salvageable. But any concern about either of these two going forward with Raheem Mostert or Josh Jacobs?
Definitely not on Mostert. I feel like every time we talk about a bust, that's a running back that played the Eagles. I'm going to say this. The Eagles are really good against the run. Jalen Carter was back into the lineup this week. I am absolutely not writing off Mostert. I am writing off any running back that's playing the Eagles. Huge, huge tax on them. But otherwise, Mostert's going to be back to a top 15 guy next week, almost certainly. I think they play... Somebody help me out. Who do they play next week?
Stand by. I will pull that up.
Mostert. We got it. It is a drum roll. They play New England. Kind of a stout defense, but I feel so much. It's just the difference between the Eagles run defense and everybody else's. And that's the difference maker. So I'm back to plugging them in. No hesitation next week.
For sure. We saw it in like the previous, first couple of years with Tom Brady in the Bucks. Like, you just did not play running backs against the Bucks for those couple of years. You know, Eagles are just hit that. Like last year, I feel like they were like that as well. As far as Jacobs, I believe he's either number two or number three in running back usage overall in the season. He doesn't play for a good team. He's going to have some bumps and bruises throughout the season where it's not the best game ever, but he's going to be so far involved that it really doesn't matter. I believe he's number three in targets as well to the running back position. So,
yeah, and with Jimmy Garoppolo potentially still missing more time, they're probably going to have to lean on Josh Jacobs if they want to have any chance of winning games, because let's face it, neither Brian Hoyer or Aiden O'Connell have looked good in those two starts. So Raiders are in a little bit of trouble if they can't get Josh Jacobs going. So they'll do whatever it takes to get him. He's another guy I'd probably be putting some offers in on to try and buy low at this point. Let's over to the wide receiver position, where, again, we talked a lot about Cooper Kupp when we talked about Puka Nacua. Obviously no concern there. It's a bad game, but he's Cooper Kupp. He'll bounce right back for the rest of the season. But there's some other receivers who disappointed us, and we'll see what sort of concerns. So, Brian, let's kick it off with you. Your wide receiver bus that are worth you want to mention here.
Oh, who to start with? I think I'm going to go with Cooper Kupp. I kind of touched on Puka Nacua dominating the targets a little bit, but Cooper Kupp did not have a great game, but I don't think it's anything we need to fret over. It's going to happen. He does get shut down from time to time. The Steelers were all over Matt Stafford, so the timing, just the way they had that defense run, I wouldn't sweat it, but it hurts. 4.2 points is just not what you expect from Cooper Kupp. Maybe in the first quarter, but not in the whole game.
Yeah, big bummer about Kupp. I want to move on to Tyler Lockett. No DK Metcalf, who's been questionable the last couple weeks, but this time he was officially out. I'm thinking Lockett's going to feast. He doesn't, finishes with 7.8 points. I know Lockett has always kind of been that boom-bust guy, so can't really say too much, but I just always give somebody like Lockett, you know, that wide receiver to boom-bust. You know, when the cards are in his favor, I should know better, but I had him higher ranked this week, especially with DK out, and he did bad. He did 7.8, so big bummer.
Yeah, it was disappointing. You would expect this to be the big game for Lockett without DK Metcalf, but it was a Jaxon Smith-Njigba game, and it was his breakout game. I'm curious what effect that's going to have on Lockett going forward. Hopefully Geno can support three wide receivers, because that's what's in the best interest for us as fantasy managers going forward. The other two receivers, real quick, that I just want to throw out there. Devontae Smith has feels like he's been finding himself on this list a lot lately. 4 receptions, 49 yards, now 3 straight weeks of less than 10 points in PPR. Again, it's still the Eagles offense, so I'm not fully panicking, but the alarm bells are starting to... I'm opening the case a little bit. If it's 3 straight weeks like this...
I was going to say he did hit the injury report this past week with a hamstring injury, so I don't know how much of that is capping his full top-off speed there, but something to monitor as well.
Yeah, and then Keenan Allen, 4 receptions, 55 yards. No, I'm not panicking about that. He's Keenan Allen. He's been one of the most consistent receivers in the entire sport to start the season. With the injury to Herbert, it's probably just had a small thing, and they're playing the Chiefs, so same thing Mario said about Herbert. He's got a great schedule coming up. Keenan Allen will continue to be Keenan Allen, especially with the not development that we've been wanting to see from Quentin Johnson. All right, so that's going to do it for our bus. And one final guy, just real quick, Michael Mayer. You had your chance there. He's droppable for possibly a tight end. We want him to be good, but I think he might be someone who needs a competent quarterback like Jimmy Garoppolo to actually get that fantasy value we're hoping for. So he's droppable for some of our tight end streamers we'll get to in just a little bit. Let's get over to the waiver wire options this week. We got a lot of exciting names we talked about at the top of the show. We'll start with the running back position, Kareem Hunt and Pierre Strong. With the injury to Jerome Ford, what their value is, that they may be at the top of this list. Say you cannot get Kareem Hunt, or he may have been picked up already because he is currently pre-rostered at 64%. Mario, we'll start with you. Who is the running back you are targeting most if Kareem Hunt's unavailable, or if there's someone you like more than Kareem Hunt?
Man, I kind of wish that somebody was on bye this week, so then naturally I would just pick them, just given my track record. So this might be crazy. It might be Zeke. Zeke's kind of getting a lot of red zone loving. He's got a touchdown the last 2 weeks. I'm not sure if we're going to keep seeing this. But listen, the Patriots look good. This week, they beat the divisional Bills. I think we already talked about, but they have another division matchup next week where they play Miami. Might be Zeke just as a little. I'll say he's more of a bye week guy. I feel like he's like the flex running back with upside with the touchdowns. He's gotten 2 in a row. He's looking like his old barrel and self. Pretty high on Zeke. I think he's like 46%, give or take, in Yahoo. So.
God, I typed that and I felt so gross doing it. I think they're going to laugh at me. They're going to shame me. I'm glad the page is there. It's gross.
Eagles fan. So I've seen Zeke just not going away for quite some time, and it's still happening. My nightmares are still existing. He's still running hard.
You know what? Ramondre Stevenson has started to look like the guy you were hoping he would be. He obviously hasn't gotten to that level, but he's starting to get back to the fantasy viability. But Zeke, yeah, he's going to score. And the Patriots, let's hope this is the start of some turning things around. So we want points. And if he's going to get in the end zone, that wouldn't be a bad thing. The big debate on fantasy Twitter throughout the week was this whole Ram running back situation. And we did get answers this past week. It was anybody but Zach Evans. We saw the mix split up as follows. Royce Freeman had 12 carries for 66 yards, no touchdowns. And Daryl Henderson, 18 carries, 61 yards, and a touchdown, as well as 1 reception for 5 yards. So if you do miss out on Zeke, if you do miss out on the Browns running back situation, maybe you want to pick up a Ram. So if you do want to pick up a Ram, is there one you prefer more than the other, or are both viable options moving forward?
No, Henderson's the guy for me. You just went over the rush split there. As far as the snaps go, Henderson had 36, Royce Freeman had 26. Zach Evans didn't even have one. So I think we're going to put that one to bed. Sixth round pick. If he was going to get an opportunity, he would have. Henderson's the guy. Didn't they cut him last season, like 3-4 weeks into it? His relationship with the Rams is hot and cold, but right now they need him, and he's the guy for me. He's my number one running back pickup, I believe, if you're going like under 50% rostered right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It was a total mess. And, you know, last week it was Zach Evans was the big pickup and he did nothing. 2 weeks ago it was Amari DiMercato. He wasn't a big pickup. And, well, he actually had the most touches for the Arizona Cardinals after we all wrote him off after a bad week. So before we get over to some other running back options, is DiMercato an option for you guys this week?
He is. He is. He is. Oh, he's in my top five in the waiver article this week coming out today. Same day you'll be listening to this. He's in my top five. I think he's a really strong and a good bounce back. I haven't heard anything about James Conner's situation. I think he's still a week or two away at least. So I'm definitely rolling the dice on him. I think we talked about they're playing Seattle next week. Arizona?
Baltimore.
Yeah, Baltimore. Seattle, that's what it was. This week. Yep. Okay, that's what it was. Crossing my wires. But yeah, he's someone high on my list.
Yeah, getting a 15% target share and 93% of the team's running back rushes. He's getting the work. He's getting what Connor was getting. So he's definitely worth throwing out there if you need a running back.
And if you do miss out on any of these options, or you're in a good spot, you just want to stash some other options, any other names worth mentioning? We did talk about Tajay Spears. He'll play in that mix as well. He probably is up there. But so we'll throw him out of this equation. Anybody else worth mentioning as someone we want to stash or just keep an eye on going forward?
Pierre Strong, seeing how he develops in the backfield with the Browns, I think is worth watching. Devin Singletary, we definitely saw an uptick in his workload going into the bye week. So checking out what they with the kind of adjustments they may make as far as the running back splits. Elijah Mitchell. We've got CMC playing right now. Does he make it through the whole game? He's got an oblique tear or a slight tear or something like that, I believe I saw. We haven't seen where this is going to go. And Elijah Mitchell, he's proven. When he's healthy, he can get it done. So he's definitely on the top of my list as well.
You took the words out of my mouth about Singletary. He's getting more and more opportunities. I'm not sure what's going on with Damian Pierce. And then Singletary, just going to add that he has the passing touchdown upside. We saw it at least once, so you have that. But I'll say he's definitely one of my deeper picks. So if you're in a deeper league where these other guys, Zeke, Henderson, you know, Hunt, if those guys are already off the waiver wire market, Singletary is one worth a dart throw. You know, bye weeks, none this week, but with them coming up soon, I think there's another big amount, either 4 or 6 the following week. So,
yeah. So real quick before we go over to the wide receiver position, let's just rank them, our top three priorities. You mentioned a lot of names here. Who are the guys you're prioritizing over the others?
I mentioned Hunt. Zeke's prime. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say Hunt, Henderson, and then probably Singletary, Mitchell, if CMC doesn't make it through the game.
I was going to say, yeah, Hunt, if he's available. I know he's at the highest, I think about 64%. But Hunt would be my number one. Then probably Zeke Henderson would be like the following ups after that.
And yeah, I'll put the same one. I'll probably do Hunt top. Henderson would be my two. Oh. And then I'll throw Tajay Spears at three. Maybe with Amari DiMercato. One of those two would be at the three. I just can't. I like Zeke, and if you can get him, cool, but I'll trust some guys who give me a little bit more upside to lead their team in carries and a mix with that struggling New England offense. But you know what? Zeke's still a good option. A lot of good names out at the running back position, I'll say, this week.
I'm showing just my Eagles NFC East, like, you know, Zeke just being in my nightmares where he gets the 120 yards and a touchdown when I close my eyes when I hear his name. So I think that's just the lingering effect.
Hey, we all have that guy. We all have the guy. The Steelers have had that guy going against us for years. So I definitely, I'm sure if you ask me, I could probably think of someone who has that same nightmares for me. We'll go over to the wide receiver position where, once again, some really exciting names to try and pick up to stash going forward. We talk about Josh Downs at the beginning of the show. I think he's the clear number one for all three of us at this point, just how much he's being used by the Indianapolis Colts. So let's just skip over him because he is number one, and talk about some other names that we want to take a look at the wide receiver position. So Brian, let's start over with you this time. Your next wide receiver priority after Josh Downs, who's the next guy you're trying to acquire?
Well, I touched on him at the beginning of the show. Jaden Reed is going to be the next guy I'm going to be going after. Over the first month of the season, he was wide receiver 36, averaging 10 fantasy points a game in PPR formats. I think with Watson gone, with Musgrave missing time, Aaron Jones is still recovering. You know, he's out there this week, but I think Jaden Reed has he's a rookie too. So what we've seen from him, it's better than most. So I think giving him time to continue to develop, seeing Jordan Love continue to develop with these young players, getting used to all that, I think he's a great add as well.
I, on the other side, am addicted to this terrible New England offense because Kendrick Bourne, who I was so high on week one over Puka, Kendrick Bourne, anytime he comes on this, I have to give him some shout outs. And listen, another week with double digits, 16.3 this week, top 14 before Monday night, caught 6 of his 7 targets and a touchdown. I don't know what it is. I just am addicted to this New England offense. And like, is it Mac Jones? Is it not? Maybe I like the drama. That is my like soap. What it's going to happen with Mac Jones. So they're definitely going to need to score to keep up with Miami. So I like Kendrick Bourne.
I like Kendrick Bourne too. It's that usage, even with Juju Smith-Schuster coming back, I don't think he's much of a hindrance in Kendrick Bourne. I think he's gotten a clear rapport with Mac Jones that you can't deny. So I think he's if you need safe PPR points, he's probably of the options might be the safest outside of Josh Downs, but there's definitely more upside there, which includes my possible favorite target among those, and that's Wandale Robinson. He only had one reception for 22 yards last week, but the Giants offense is slowly putting it a little back together, and it might be because Tyrod Taylor's in over Daniel Jones. We'll see what happens when Daniel Jones comes back. But there's some upside there, and he's starting to be a lot more involved in this Giants offense. So I think Wandale Robinson, if you're looking for some upside, only 25% rostered in Yahoo leagues. Someone you want to take a peek at. And I think there's a lot to like there, along with a few other options. So outside of these names, we can have a little bit less discussion, unless you have something you want to add for Robinson. Anybody else that you're throwing a dart at, or maybe some upside plays going forward?
These guys are going to be a little higher owned, but Rashee Rice has been very much involved in the Chiefs' offense, pulling in another touchdown this week. And then Joshua Palmer has proved that he's willing to be the second wide receiver on this offense. Quentin Johnson has not looked another pedestrian week this week. So if they're out there, I think they're worth getting. I think they're usually about 60% owned in most platforms. Zay Jones coming back from injury, I think he's somebody to look at because Calvin Ridley just doesn't want to play every week, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to give a little shout out to Zay Jones. I know he was out last week, but when he was in, I mean, week one was someone that was high on him. I really thought he was going to kind of take a bigger step in that offense, but of course he followed it up with the 0 catches for 6 targets. But it's a good sign getting that many targets. Week 5, he got the 5 targets. To me, that's a pretty good floor for a flex level guy who you're kind of chasing after in these waivers. So he does have a bye week 9, so Zay Jones isn't, you know, I feel like right now we're kind of just talking about guys who getting ready for the BIPOC. The next round of bye is coming up, so a little disclaimer there. But on the flip side, I need to always somehow talk about guys on bye week. So that's the closest I'm going to get this week with no byes.
You know, not the worst thing in the world. You got to do it. We all have our thing on this show, and yours just naming guys on bye weeks. But coming off the bye weeks, a name that I want to throw out as a reminder, Tank Dell is only 48% rostered in Yahoo leagues. They do have Vera coming off their bye. They have a matchup with the Carolina Panthers this coming week. That's easily a matchup we can take advantage of. I expect CJ Stroud to go out to try and show up Bryce Young and the team that passed on him first overall. And I believe Robert Woods is also, if I'm not mistaken, dealing with a minor injury coming off the bye week. So monitor that closely. If there is no Woods, then there's clearly a chance for Tank Dell to have, you know, compete very close with Nico Collins for top at the for Houston share. So he's a name you can throw out there as someone you want to add to wrap up this pretty wide open wide receiver room. So before we go over to the other streamers, same thing. Let's rank our top 3-4 priorities at the wide receiver.
So we got again, I will do the takeover for the Colts homer. I like Josh Downs a lot. I think he's going to get involved. I think this offense is always going to be like have that shootout potential. I think Minshew's a guy that gets it done ugly, but he still gets it done. So Downs would be my number one. I like Bourne a lot as my number two. Have since week one, still standing on that take. And then number three, I like Tank Dell a lot. It'd probably be here. It'd be like the Palmer Rice, but they are over the threshold. So if they're not available, then it would go down to Tank Dell, because we've seen that CJ Stroud just loves balling it out.
Yeah, pretty similar. I'm going Josh Downs, Jaden Reed, and Tank Dell. If you're going for stashes, if you're looking pretty good, then I'm going Jameson Williams or Marvin Mims if they're still out there.
Yeah, and I'll stick with the same one. I will have Josh Downs at the top. I will put Kendrick Bourne up there. I like for the work he's getting in New England. And I'll put Tank Dell at three. I'd probably mix the Josh Palmer, Rashi Rice right up there with Tank Dell and Kendrick Bourne if they're still available, but for guys who are more widely rostered. But if you're looking for the upside, I like the call for Jameson Williams. I like the call for Wandell Robinson. And, you know, we'll see. Wide receiver, I think there's plenty of names. That's just the lesson that I've taken out from there. But before we wrap up, we'll run through some streamers. Again, everybody's available. There's no bye weeks this week, so we're probably not playing the streams game as often. But if you are looking for some possible replacements, we'll start at the quarterback position. Who are some guys you are looking to add out there?
Ooh, Kyler, I think he's got to be mentioned here. I think his upside, I'm a little weary of his upside, his running upside coming off this ACL injury, but if you've got the ability to roster him, I think he should be picked up in most formats.
Yeah, he would probably be my number one as well. Last I read is that I think they're expecting a week 10 return for Kyler. They really don't want to rush him back, but it's definite that he is going to be coming back. I talked about where if you're somebody that kind of punted on a quarterback, I think he's a great stash. It is a little scary because he's going to be coming back so late in the season where, you know, you're getting so close to the fantasy playoffs and it's just like you want to have as much consistency, but I'd rather have him than not and let somebody else pick him up. But also Minshew, just keep in make sure Brian doesn't have to be the cult homer. I did mention that he has a little bit of those, you know, sometimes he's barely in the top, you know, in the tens, you know, where he's flirting with like a 20 plus, but then he has these games like this where he sneaks in for two rushing touchdowns. So I don't think that's going to happen every week, but I think he is exciting player nonetheless.
I think he's going to be expect Jameis Winston when he's out there.
I was just thinking of Jameis.
Where he can score you touchdowns, he can move a little bit, but he's got the stones to go out there and just launch it. So he's going to throw interceptions or fumble the ball, putting the offense back out on the field, putting them in the game scripts where they need to throw the ball. So I think he's a great fantasy quarterback in that sense, where NFL quarterback, obviously, he's not helping the team, but for your fantasy team, I think he's great.
Yeah, definitely like him going forward, and especially in two quarterback leagues, someone to look at. And if you're looking for someone for a real one-week streamer, Baker Mayfield does go on the road against the Buffalo Bills. It will be a shootout potential, and we've seen Baker have those games where he can light it up and keep it close, especially when he's got both Chris Godwin and Mike Evans playing near the top of their game like they have been. And Desmond Ridder is going to be traveling to Tennessee. The Titans just lost Kevin Byard, and they are not a good football team. Their defense is not good. So Desmond Ridder, if you're really desperate, he's, you know, Brian talked about at the beginning of the show that he had been airing it out for a while until Arthur Smith decided he wanted to get back into the headlines. So maybe they let him air it out again, even though he is on the road. So
he rushed for two touchdowns. Those were Bijan's touchdowns.
That too. Yeah, he did run for the two touchdowns. Arthur Smith. That's all you got to say for that. He Arthur'd it up. We'll go over to the tight end position where... Are we really going to bring up his name again? Do we really have to talk about Taysom Hill?
Oh,
yeah. Let's do it.
We have to talk about him. So tell me if I'm crazy. Tell me, is this real? Is Taysom Hill really going to be a thing again? I know it's been two straight weeks, but is he actually a viable starter?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Listen, in the world of tight ends, it's like, what do you have to lose anyways? Like, tight ends are already kind of a wasteland. You know, we just use the Jameis comparison for Minshew. Kind of the same with Taysom Hill, right? And tight ends, a wasteland where it's kind of fine. I mean, the last 2 weeks, so week seven, Taysom Hill had five targets and five rushing attempts. So we'll call it 10 opportunities. And then the week before that, he had 9 opportunities. So he's getting involved. All of the weeks before that, he had fewer. He had just the one target and fewer rushing attempts. So we like seeing the volume going forward. Maybe he's the change of pace guy versus Alvin Kamara, because we said that they're kind of running the offense through him. But listen, why not? He's the Winston of tight ends, and what else? You're going to start Cole Kmet over him, and like you're just having the touchdown upside anyway. So I like Hill.
Yeah, he's the volatile play. If you are, if you know your opponent's favored by more than 8 or 9 points, and your tight end is giving you 4 to 5 points, put Taysom Hill in. There's a good chance he's going to, you know, blow up and give you those, you know, double digit performance and push you over the edge. It's a great chance he gives you one. But if you're looking for something volatile, you're looking to shoot for the fence because you're the underdog, I think he's a great grab.
He does play the Indianapolis Colts this week, and we talked about at the beginning of the show, the Colts defense is not something that you're scared of. So, Taysom Hill, if I was doing rankings, he'd probably be top 12. I think Taysom Hill is someone you pick up and start. And this next guy I want to bring up may be in a similar category, someone you want to pick up and start. And that's Dalton Kincaid. Had his best game as a pro in this past week. Dawson Knox is currently battling an injury. They do have the Thursday night game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But is Dalton Kincaid working his way into the weekly starter conversation?
I think so. Just before we started recording, I saw that Knox is actually going in for wrist surgery. And his timetable is actually unknown. So Kincaid is going to get plenty of opportunities. He's not going to have to split opportunities with Dawson Knox anymore. So I think if we want to see a number two target emerge, clearly Gabe Davis is saying, hey, anybody else can have it. I don't have to. So maybe Kincaid's our guy.
Agree with that 100%. Yeah, I have nothing to add.
And Brian, you write the weekly tight end streamer. I'm sure you'll have some more names within that article, but just real quick, any other names you just want to highlight? I'm sure you'll have more reasoning in the article, but any other names worth monitoring at this point?
Yeah, Ferguson and Schultz, the both Texas tight ends out there, they've showed us that they can be pretty decent out there. Maybe not the top scorers, but something in the middle. Parham, we saw Everett go out after scoring another touchdown this week. Parham's already got 3 on the season, so he would be somebody to look at as a touchdown tight end. And then McBride. We're finally seeing Ertz come out of there, and McBride stepping up, the second-year tight end. So maybe he's worth a shot in deeper league, but we'll have to check out the article to find out more.
Ooh.
Yep, so stay tuned for the weekly tight end streamers. So I'm sure we'll get some more reasoning, but I like all of those plays. A lot of good matchups for a tight end position that you can attack. Speaking of good matchups, we always do that defense, and this week there definitely is one, including a crazy, thrilling game in East Rutherford, Third, New Jersey, between the Giants and Jets. They may be your top defense streamers for the week, but is there another name or team that I'm overlooking, or are we just looking at this matchup for our defense streamers?
Yeah, Jets are definitely my number one. I think they're sitting just above 50%, but they did just have their bye. So I feel like a lot of people are going to be dropping their defenses over the bye week. So keep an eye out for Jets. They'd be my number one. Besides that, I'm probably looking at the Chargers versus the Bears. I know we saw some magic this week with the backup with Badgent, but I don't know if Lightning strikes twice, which is ironic because they're playing the Chargers, the Lightning Bolt. Chargers, I think that they're better than they're letting on. So I think the Chargers are a good, safe one for this week. Brian, you got one.
I think I'm going to have to go love the Jets, Giants, either one of those side. I like Lions are going to have to be mine. Going up against the backup, whether it's Hoyer or Aiden O'Connell, I'm not really too afraid of it. I think they've got a great run defense, so the only weapon they really have is Josh Jacobs out there. So if they shut him down, then they've just got to worry about getting to that quarterback. And, Devontae Adams will have another pedestrian game if that happens.
Oh, so Devontae.
I like it.
Yeah, I think the Lions can be a very good play, especially if they can put some pressure on O'Connell, Hoyer, whoever it is. And even if it's Jimmy G that comes back, first game back from a back injury, you got to go up against Aiden Hutchinson in that front seven. Good luck. So I don't mind the Lions. I'm probably sticking at the Battle of New York, but there's a lot of good defense options. Even with no bye weeks, you can ultimately find someone on the waivers better than what you've been having. So keep an eye out for that. But that's going to do it for this episode of the QBless Fantasy Football Podcast. If you want to have some more questions answered for start, sit, waiver priorities, whatever the case may be, you can find the show on Twitter at the QBless. You'll have access to all the articles from our staff, including Brian's weekly tight end streamers, and Mario's weekly waiver wire article, where we will have much more in-depth discussions about these names and other guys who we may not have mentioned who are worth picking up. You can find also us in the QB List Discord at pitcherless or QBList.com/PL+. It's full on access. You can talk football with us every Sunday. Answer start sit decisions, waiver wire parties, trade discussions, general football discussions, or anything in between. It's a great community of people that talk football, baseball, life, anything and everything. There's a community for it, so definitely worth checking out if you want to hang out there. That's QBList or pitcherlist.com, and you click the get PL+. You can find me at Twitter at Callen_Elsliger. Same as usual, just chatting football, chatting baseball. It's the baseball playoffs, so we're still alive with that, but a lot of exciting stuff there, and I'll be chatting in the Discord. No real articles coming out, but Brian and Mario are carrying the load on that, so I'll let you guys plug where all your work can be found, or anything else that's coming out that's not those article related.
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at MarioDomoJr. I'm also very active in all of the Reddit threads, so if you have any kind of general questions, if you're not on the Discord, which I highly, highly recommend. But if you just ask a question, any like the general ones, either the sit start or the what we saw, I do my best to try to answer a bunch of questions. Keep an eye out for me there. But as Cal mentioned, I also do the waiver article, releases every Tuesday, the same day you're probably listening to this. So go take a look at it, see who, get a little bit more detail, a little bit more stats that we're trying not to put you to sleep with here.
And then you can find me at @too_much_Brian on Twitter. You can find me in the Reddit threads talking about the What We Saw articles. I'm usually in there. And then, yes, absolutely, the tight end streaming article. You can find me there. And, yeah, if you're looking for more of me, you can find me all over my Too Much stuff, Movie Night Shenanigans, and Fantasy Football.
And then on this podcast, where it really is just Too Much Brian when talking fantasy football. So.
Not enough Brian, no, you're asking.
Not enough Brian. It's good to have the three of us back together. And a lot of fun. It's good to be back. And like I said, this is an exciting week for waivers. I think we covered a lot more names than I was expecting. Even with the injuries, there's plenty of exciting names to look out for. So be active. We're approaching that midway point in the season where we really want to set ourselves up, just not just for wins now, but setting yourself up for possible playoff matchups. So, you know, it's an exciting time for not just the NFL, but for our fantasy rosters as well. But that's going to do it for this episode of QB List Fantasy Football Podcast. We will talk to you all next week.